So how you doing?
I'm doing great, you know, just doing what needs to be done. And,
what does that mean?
I'm sorry, Dad,
why don't we just have lunch and talk? We can do that, right?
Please.
Egunon, buenos días. Bienvenidos a la rueda de prensa de la película Beautiful Boy, película que forma parte de la sección oficial de esta 66 edición del Festival de San Sebastián. Sí, sí, por favor. Para hablar hoy de la película, tenemos el placer de contar hoy con su director, Félix Van Groeningen, y con su protagonista, Timothée Chalamet. Así que abrimos enseguida turno de preguntas. Teníamos una aquí ya. Sí. Ah, sí, es verdad que estabas. Sí, tú primero y luego él. Sí.
Vale. Hello. Hi.
Hey.
Something in which all the reviews are agree is in your spectacular performance, Timothée. So really, congratulations for that. And I want to ask you one thing. Has this film affected you psychologically, or has it touched you inside to the point to change your personality of something about you after this film? Thank you so much.
Well, thank you for saying that, for the first thing you said about the movie. And I think any and all good things about this movie are thanks to Felix right here, who's an incredible director, and I think a lot of people here will have seen Broken Circle Breakdown, which is Felix's other film. Obviously, he made Belgica before this one, but that's maybe the one closest to Beautiful Boy. If anything stayed with me, it was simply that addiction knows no boundaries. It doesn't discriminate based on race or class or gender. Anyone can be affected by addiction and alcoholism. In the United States right now, where I'm from, this is particularly a crisis right now. You have an opiate crisis in America, where a large part of the population is addicted to opiates. And in America right now, more than car accidents, more than gun violence, more than car accidents, addiction and overdoses, that's the biggest killer right now. I don't want to be incorrect, but I think over 50,000 people died last year from overdoses alone. So if anything stayed with me, it's the urgency of this message in this movie. That's why I wanted to come to San Sebastian. It's why I want to be here, and I want to get in front of this movie and, you know, in whatever infinitesimal way I can help have this movie be seen. Because to conclude, lastly, again, where I'm from, this country's dealing with it right now. But yeah, you know, even more tragically, a lot of young people are dealing with it right now. And if beating addiction is a crazy thing in and of itself, to try to beat addiction when you're at a young age seems, you know, like an enormous challenge, which is what the movie's about. So, thank you. Thank you.
Gracias. Sí, aquí tenemos una pregunta.
Hola, ¿qué tal? Buenos días. Quería preguntar al director por...
You could put your headphones.
Okay.
Yes, channel 3. And you will have English.
Yep. Quería preguntar al director por la selección musical de la película, en base a qué la eligió, porque son grupos conocidos mayormente, y sobre la iluminación también, si está tratada especialmente según el tipo de escena que se está viendo en pantalla, o cómo fue el tratamiento y el trabajo con el director de fotografía. Y a Timothée Chalamet quería saber también, pues un poco cómo trabajó su personaje, qué tipo de entrevistas, qué documentación manejó a la hora de crear el personaje. Gracias.
So about the music, it was really inspired by the books on which this movie is based on. The movie is based on two memoirs written by David and Nick Sheff. They both wrote their story about what their family went through, each from their very specific point of view. What was clear in the books is their shared passion and love for music, and they have a very eclectic taste. So during the development of the movie, some of that found its way into scenes, like the Nirvana scene, or obviously the Beautiful Boy scene, where he sings the John Lennon song for his son. But in post-production too, I always knew I wanted to play with needle drops with big songs being part of this movie. But it was only in the edit where we really made the radical choice to not use any score and only use needle drops. And it made us go one step further in creating the soundtrack of their lives, make the movie work as the soundtrack, or make the score work as the soundtrack of their lives. And as the movie also like plays with time and flows through time, like memory works, it was the idea that the music works like that too. The work with the DP, Ruben Impens, he is my, he shot this film, he shot all my previous films. My team around me, my closest artistic collaborators are Ruben, the DP, and Nico, who edited the movie. And yeah, our process is very organic. We don't, you know, when we start the movie, we have a couple of ideas and we take it from there. And then we during rehearsing, Ruben will be part of the rehearsals. We will very slowly build a style coming from a couple of very basic ideas. And here, the idea was not to impose too much. We wanted things to play out. Shoot it fairly widely, and an important element also was nature, of course. Where this was shot was really, really beautiful, and we wanted to, incorporate that in like the very wide shots when they're driving or when David's walking, and also have it culminate in the house where they live in, which is a little paradise that David created for his family.
Sí, tenemos aquí pregunta.
Hello.
Wasn't there?
I don't want to ramble either. Well, simply again, there were the two books, as Felix alluded to, Beautiful Boy and Tweak, that were good source material to pull from. I was able to be on the project about a month and a half early, so. You know, Felix encouraged me to lose the weight appropriate for the role, and I thought that was a good idea ultimately. So I lost 18 pounds at the beginning of the movie, and we shot that first week of scenes, not necessarily in chronological order, but just in the scenes that were most extreme physically the first week, and then as it progressed, take whenever needed, you could just take help from the book that was needed. You know, it was all evident in the book.
And meeting Nick?
And meeting Nick as well, obviously, and meeting Nick before, of course, meeting Nick about, I'd say like 3 weeks before filming, and he came to set too while we were shooting. Nick, David came to set as well with Karen, so just being, in touch with them as well.
Sí, aquí, pregunta.
Hello, morning. Okay. First of all, congratulations on the movie. I thought it was beautiful. The movie and your acting, I thought it was amazing.
Thank you.
And I'd like to ask you, what motivated you to make a movie about drug addiction? Like, why did you choose this particular theme to make your next movie? And to you, I'd like to know, what was the hardest thing to do? What was the hardest part to play Nick Sheff emotionally, for example? What was the hardest part?
Sure.
I wanted to make this film because I thought it was extremely important, and it's not only about addiction, it's about family, about a family going through this, it's about a family recovering, actually. So I thought that although, it does lay out a harsh truth and it has raw parts, it's actually very filled with unconditional love and hope in the end. And when I read the books, I was visually moved. I saw a lot of the themes that interested me that I had like dealt with in previous films. So it seemed the right thing for me to take on. I was just like, I tried to not make it, but I had to make this film. I really had to make it. I learned from my films. I learned from this film a lot. It's been a very beautiful journey together with David and Nick too. They were very open about their lives. They let us into their lives, and essentially, they today they are really they got through this. They're very still beautiful family filled with unconditional love. And yeah, that's what I thought, you know. Sure, this film had the opportunity to, in a very simple way, lay out a very complex, emotional complex issue. And it was worth to turn it into a movie to start conversations about it.
I think just difficulty-wise, it's kind of what Felix was alluding to right now about family. Okay. I think it was the humanity of the character I never wanted to lose, and I think that was the trap for me as an actor. I felt was if an audience member watched this movie or if other actors watched this movie and it felt like somebody was playing an addict on screen or like a drug addict or something, and I never wanted this to feel like you know, an actor or you savoring the opportunity to do well. I thought it would be like more moving for an audience member to go, oh my God, that could be, you know, anybody in my family, like me, my sister or my son. And that's the truth of addiction again, is the, you know, and Steve Carell and I would have this experience on set often. We'd finish a day of filming sometimes and a crew member would come up to us and say, you know, I have a family member that's being affected by this. And so again, yeah, to find the humanity of the character, it felt like that's going to be the most effective thing for the story, because people as audience members won't be able to remove themselves and go, oh, okay, well, this is nothing like my family, you know, I can't relate to this, but rather go, oh my God, you know, this could really happen to anybody.
Sí, aquí, pregunta.
Hola. Aquí. quería preguntarle al actor, sí. Quería preguntarle al actor por la relación con Steve Carell, porque es una relación una conexión muy fuerte, ¿no? La que hay en la película entre ambos, y me gustaría saber si ha requerido de un plus de conocimiento mutuo entre los dos para poder mostrarlo luego en la pantalla.
Yeah, I think yes and no. I think I'm bummed Steve isn't here, but then I can compliment him without feeling embarrassed, so I can go full steam ahead, because I was a huge fan of The Office before we started to work together, and like a lot of people my age, and if anything, that was the biggest challenge for me to get over, as it can often be when you're at a young age working with older actors that are very well known, is like, how do I not feel like they're famous right now or something? And but besides that, I don't know, Steve says it too. It's the way I feel about Steve. It's the way I felt about working with Felix. Or it's like the luck I feel about, you know, Armie Hammer too, who I was in a movie with last year. You know, sometimes you just get lucky and you hit it off with another human being and you get along, and that's what it was with Steve. And as opposed to Armie, where with Armie it was like more of a brotherhood or something, with Steve I immediately felt like he was parental towards me without being condescending, but just very warm and affectionate. And and he was Steve Carell, so I was like, that's amazing, you know. and then also Felix really wanted us to rehearse, you know, the weeks leading up to the movie, so I think we went to your house a lot and rehearsed. And you know, time is the biggest gift. Time is the biggest teacher experience. So we just spent as much time together as possible with Steve. Yeah. Yeah.
Sí, tenemos ahí en la esquina una pregunta.
Hola, sí. Buenos días. Es bastante dolorosa la película y el punto que trata tiene que ver con la rehabilitación, ¿verdad? Y si ustedes plantean que esta problemática ya es una epidemia en Estados Unidos, ¿piensan que puede ser peor todavía de lo que muestran respecto a esta historia? Gracias.
Do you want to answer? Yeah. You're American.
Yeah, I'm American.
No, I...
Yeah, I mean, is that right?
Sure, of course.
Like, yeah, I mean, it's tough because I have a smile on my face, but that's a huge, it's the biggest, you know, problem in the U.S. right now. Like I said before, more, you know, more than car crashes or gun violence or it's addiction and overdoses. And tragically, you know, a lot of young people are dealing with this. It's very interesting when we do these press conferences with Steve and we hear how the movie's discussed. And one of the big things I hope the movie tries to accomplish, and what a dialogue about addiction accomplishes, is that it stops becoming so taboo and you can kind of discuss these things more in the open without a sense of embarrassment, and there's not a sense of shame about it. But weirdly, I feel like for people, you know, my age, I even think there's another swing to it, where I think there's a taboo around drug addiction and things like that. But then there can be a glorification of it too, and kind of a martyrdom, and a sacrificial idea towards like Xanax or opiates or these drugs that make you totally numb out and disappear. And I think there's a real sense of disillusion. And I think, you know, these things like across the last 50 years can be presented as solutions to people. And once you're in the cycle, which is what the movie's about, once you're in the cycle, you're really in it, and it's very difficult to get out of. So yeah, I think this is an enormous epidemic in the United States. I wouldn't be so cavalier or confident or anything to say this movie is a solution or a fix, but I think it can help, you know, at least be like a mirror, like a reflection of sorts, and kind of like a story as to what's really going on in the States right now, or in the world, really. Mm-hmm.
For me, actually, I come from Belgium. Yet when I read those books, I felt that I too in the I just saw the way the family dealt with it, and what I understood from addiction, and the ones loving people going through it, have to deal with. What I learned from how the Chef family dealt with it, how they found their way through it, how they struggled and were very open about their struggle. From all of that, I learned that actually me too in the past, and my family too, had not had those tools when in our family we had dealt with it. So I thought that was the most important thing for this film to do, just to share a story of people who struggle with it, and create empathy for those people.
Mm-hmm. Sí, allí.
Hello, hi. My question is for the director. The cast is really great, I think. I think it's easy to understand why you would choose this set of actors in particular. But is there anything in particular that you thought back in the day, I need these people in this project for any reason?
Sorry, I didn't last the last
Sorry. Class. Yeah, that when you chose the people for this project,
yeah.
Was there anything in particular that made you think, oh, I need Steve Carell or I need this guy here?
Well, the role of David, we needed somebody who was very relatable for a lot of people. So that was important. And then, and Steve is just so, he's incredible actor, I think. Really, really amazing. I mean, the Office and the comedic work he has done is incredible, but then his shift towards dramatic work is maybe even more incredible, I would say, because I'm also a dramatic director. So I tend to look more for those performances. So I thought that was incredible. Yeah, I wanted him to approach it very earnest and very close to himself, and he had the same instinct. So Steve, he is a very incredibly dedicated father. He is very earnest. He has something incredibly warm. So it, like, there was a lot of overlaps with the character he was playing, and it's not always necessary, of course not, but for this role in particular, I think it was. And Nick Sheff in real life, and the way he's described in the books, has something incredibly beautiful yet ungraspable. And he's very charming, but yes, he goes to very dark places. And whenever I saw the first tape of Timothy, we were totally blown away how he could get that. Find that very particular way of dealing with a dad. Like, there was this one scene when he was presenting the joint that he did on the audition tape, and just he got that very specific adolescent playing with his dad, having a connection but hiding things, and then like a minute later he was doing another scene and it was just like totally blowing me away in playing someone who's totally strung out, but always keeping that humanity. And then we did a couple of rounds, but from the first time I met him, you know, I was just enthralled by Timothy, by his energy, by his everything, by his whole being. He doesn't come in just a little bit, he comes in with everything, and it was amazing.
Thank you.
Of course. Thank you.
Sí, pues yo quería preguntarle a Timote justamente por eso, ¿no? Creo que no pasará mucho tiempo en que volvamos a verle nominado al Oscar y no sé si vive todo esto, este éxito tan rápido, con mucha presión o no. Y luego la pregunta acerca del personaje, ¿no? ¿Cómo hacer este viaje? ¿Cómo entrar, pero luego salir de este personaje?
Thank you. That was way longer. You know, to the first part, you know, thank you for the compliments about the movie, and you know, just with a lot of gratitude, I feel really grateful to be sitting in front of a lot of people here. I'm a fan of movies. I'm a fan of acting and actors, and it's still very surreal to me that I can hear the sound of my own voice right now, and I'm really grateful to be here with something of, like, I feel like there's an urgency to the message. It's not entertainment, pop, business, whatever. There's a real message here. And then secondly, I think I really like that question a lot because it's something I struggle with, is how to leave a movie. And you don't wind down at the end of the movie. You don't go, oh, I have 5 days left, so I'll start stopping now. No, you go full steam, 100%, and then it's over. And it's very strange. And this was a very difficult thing to walk away from. You know, I lost weight, so I felt physically, like, not in the best shape. And it was just it was a weird thing to leave. It doesn't leave you with a great feeling. But it's been great. I was able to, you know, stay in touch with Felix and Steve, and I met a lot of people on the movie I stayed in touch with, and Jeremy Kleiner and Dee Dee Gardner, they're producers on it, and I did another movie with them a couple months ago, so I've stayed busy, but it is very difficult every time to leave a movie. I don't really know how. I always struggle with it. Yeah.
Sí, teníamos aquí otra.
Hi, I have a question for both of you. Do you have any, hopefully, much less dangerous addictions or obsessions yourself that kind of helped you to direct the movie or to play the part, and that kind of helped you to understand the whole topic?
There's a fear in me to become addicted to things. I don't think in the end I will, because that fear is so big. So, but obviously it's something that plays.
You know, my experience isn't close to Nick's in the film, nor of that of my family's. I think I do get, like, unsatiated desire, though, and what that is to like sit or to feel like desire is unsatisfied. And I think, like any actor, you know, your motor can be increased. So I think I understand what it is to, want very badly to. I'm not describing it very well, but to have an intense, unsatiated, you know, desire.
Una última pregunta, por favor, allí, que tenemos que ir terminando. Sí, allí.
Sí, me gustaría haceros una pregunta, la misma que le han hecho al presidente español, que ahora está de gira norteamericana. ¿Están a favor o en contra de la legalización de la marihuana?
The Spanish president's in the United States right now. Is that true? Is that what you said?
No, the Spanish president is... I also missed the part of it.
Yeah. What do you say?
The question is if we are for or...
Sí, había visitado a Justin Trudeau, el presidente de Canadá, y le habían preguntado si estaba a favor o en contra de la legalización de la marihuana. Entonces, les pregunto a ustedes, a cada uno de vosotros, a ver si están a favor o en contra. Gracias.
I think it's we have to stop putting people who are drug users in jails.
Yes.
It's not a crime. That's all I have to say.
Yeah, I totally agree with Felix, and I was, you know, that was like a mock applause thing, but I swear to God, if we were in the United States, you know, if we were doing a press conference in the United States, people would have, I think, joined in that, because basically in the United States, you have nonviolent drug offenders, sometimes carrying small amounts of marijuana, that get put in jail for a very long time, and that segment of the population is disproportionately African American, and it's not right. And the United States has a history of things that like that that are just bad and are backwards, and that needs to change. So I would definitely be for the legalization. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Muy bien. Bueno, tenemos que dar por terminada la rueda de prensa. Solo nos queda agradecer a Félix y Timoteo que estén aquí. Thank you very much.
Thank you.